we present Dixon of Dock Green, with David Calder as PC George Dixon, David Tennant as PC Andy Crawford, and Charlie Brooks as Mary Dixon. Dixie, dramatised by Sue Rodwell from the television screenplay by Ted Willis.
Evening all. Sorry. Need to catch my breath. I just had to break up a fight between two old biddies over who owned an old bucket. Would you believe it? They've been neighbours for years, and now they aren't speaking to each other because of some rusty old piece of tin. Had a spot of bother with a neighbour a while back. Yeah, my own neighbour. Oh, and I'll tell you later why this particular story's called Dixie.
Oh, I'm getting too old for night duty, Mary.
You've been saying that for years, Dad.
It's been true for years. Oh, had to prop my eyes open with matchsticks for the last hour.
Did you?
I should leave it to youngsters like Andy. Doesn't seem to have any effect on him. You looking for something, love?
Yes, the rent money.
You haven't lost it.
But I haven't. It was in the vase on the mantelpiece yesterday morning, just where I always put it.
Well, then that's where it'll be.
But it isn't.
Well, are you sure you put the money in there?
Yeah, I'm quite sure. Look, and there's the rent book underneath.
Because you know how you're always putting things in a safe place and losing them.
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, what about your watch and the front door key and Mrs. Jacobs' false teeth?
Yeah, well, I told you before. She left them in the garden. Look, it was nothing to do with me. And anyway, I haven't lost the rent money.
All right, calm down. Let's look at this logically. I gave you £2 of the rent on Sunday, didn't I?
You did.
Well, that's all right then. I'm in the clear. Any chance of breakfast before you go off to work?
Dad, this is serious.
Oh, the kettle's on. I'm parched.
You two are the giddy limit.
What?
Andy, you know where the kettle is, and you know where I keep the frying pan, Dad. Or you should do by now. I'm off to work.
Was it something I said?
That's all right, lad. Mary's just a bit upset. She mislaid the rent money.
No, I haven't.
Let's toss a coin for who cooks breakfast.
It's all right, then.
Nice bit of bacon, George.
Yeah, not too burnt round the edges.
Well, I like it crisp. Yeah. You know, it's funny about that rent money.
But it won't be if I have to dig into my pocket for some more.
10 bob went missing from my room yesterday.
You didn't say anything.
Well, I thought I must have put it in my pocket by mistake, but I'm not so sure now. Do you think we should call the police?
Oh, very funny.
And what about your lighter? You haven't found that yet, have you?
It's probably gone down the side of the settee.
Well, didn't Mary have all the cushions off that the other day?
You think we've got mice?
It's beginning to look like it. Big ones.
Yeah. Maybe we'd better set a trap.
I've had a good look out the back. There's no sign of the kitchen door being forced, or the window.
Well, our thief didn't walk in through the front door.
The only thing I did notice was a bit of the fence between here and the Munros has been broken off. Fairly recently, by the look of it.
You think old man Munro's been shinning over in his pinstripe suit?
No. But what about his daughter?
Doris? Oh, never. Well, that girl's as meek as a church
mouse.
No. Can't be Doris. I left my wallet lying on the draining board with some marked notes peeping at. Anyone taking a quick look through the kitchen window couldn't miss it. We settle ourselves down in the dining room with a thermos of hot strong tea and waited. What's the time?
Shh. There's someone in the kitchen.
Oh, right. Well, let's see what our mouse looks like. Doris.
Stages, where you are, young lady.
I haven't done anything.
Well, then what are you doing in my kitchen?
Your back door was open. There was something I wanted to ask Mary.
You know perfectly well my daughter's at work.
I thought she must have come home early, with the door being open.
It was shut and locked last time I looked.
You thought the house was empty, didn't you?
Please don't tell my father. I won't do it again.
How did you get in?
I told you. The door was open.
Doris, the truth.
Oh, Mary keeps a spare key behind your water butt. I saw her take it out once when we were talking over the fence.
Oh, Mary.
What are you going to do?
Take you down to the station and charge you with burglary.
You can't.
Well, give us one good reason why not.
If my father finds out, I'll kill myself.
Oh, don't be so silly.
I will.
Now, you do nothing of the kind, young lady. Now, pull yourself together. And tell me, why have you been stealing?
I haven't. I never took anything.
The wallet's empty, George.
It wasn't me.
So, Doris, if I went through your pockets, I wouldn't find £3 notes with D inked on each of them.
I needed the money.
Well, why? Your father's got a good job, hasn't he?
He never gives me anything.
So you thought you could steal it instead?
How old are you, Doris? 15.
I'm 17.
What? Then you're certainly old enough to know better.
Dad treats me as if I'm 10. He never lets me have anything. I wanted a new dress.
Nothing wrong with the one you've got on, as far as I can see.
It's a child's dress. I've had it for years. My mum bought it for me just before she went away. A number of times I've lowered the hem. But Dad won't buy me a new one. Make do and mend. That's what he always says.
You've left school now, haven't you?
Yes.
Then get yourself a job. Buy your own clothes.
Dad don't want me having a job. He says I've plenty to do in the house.
I think I'm going to have a word with your father.
Please don't.
Well, he has to know about this, Doris.
I'll give it all back. All the money. And the other stuff.
What other stuff?
The cigarette lighter and the spoons.
Spoons?
Those little silver ones. They were in that drawer.
Oh, you have been a busy mouse.
When did you take those?
Last Thursday, after you all went out. I wasn't going to keep them.
Well, then what were you going to do with them?
They were only pawned. That's why I needed money today, to get the spoons back from the pawnbroker.
Wait, you meant to steal my money to redeem my spoons?
I had to. I don't have any money of my own.
That is strangely logical, you know.
And what about my lighter?
I gave that to someone.
Who?
I can't tell you.
Do you realise how serious this is, Doris?
Oh, you don't know what it's like. Never having anything nice. All my clothes are patched or darned or old-fashioned.
Your father works at Martin's Bank, doesn't he?
Please, Mr. Dixon.
He has to be told. Andy, do you mind staying here with Doris while I fetch him?
Of course not. She can tell me just how she pinched all these things from under our noses.
My daughter?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Munro.
This is nonsense, Dixon.
Well, I wish it was.
No, no, Doris would never do such a thing.
I caught your daughter in my kitchen with three of my own pound notes in her pocket.
I simply can't believe that.
You think I'm lying?
You've got the wrong end of the stick, that's all.
Pixie Crawford was with me. I tell you exactly the same.
In your kitchen, you say?
In my wallet.
I'm sure there's a perfectly rational explanation.
I don't want this to go any further.
What do you mean, further?
Your daughter's been caught stealing. It's a very serious matter. Right, she should be arrested, brought before the magistrate.
That won't be necessary.
I hope not.
I'll have a word with Doris this evening.
I was hoping you could come back with me now.
That will be quite impossible, I'm afraid. I can't just leave the bank. It would be most frowned upon.
Mr. Munro, do you understand what your daughter's done?
Doris will have a perfectly reasonable explanation. This matter can be cleared up without any unpleasantness. I can assure you of that, Dixon.
I can only think the man has taken leave of his senses.
Dad!
It was most embarrassing. A police officer asking for me at the bank. Goodness knows what Vegas thought. The sooner we clear up this nonsense...
It's not nonsense.
What do you mean?
I did it.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's true what they said. It's all true. I stole the money.
Doris, keep your voice down. We don't want the whole street to hear.
Oh, it sounds as if he's given Doris a good talking to.
Poor kid.
Poor kid. She's a thief, Mary.
Here, give us a glass.
Why?
Well, if I put it up against the wall, I can hear what they're saying properly.
You can't, Andy.
No, no, it really works.
No, I mean it would be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it would.
Are you really going to take Doris down to the station, Dad, and charge her?
Perhaps he'd teach her not to do such a stupid thing again.
What if she's sent to Borstal? Then she really will turn into a thief.
Call me old-fashioned, love, but I think the girl should be punished.
It sounds as if she's being punished now. I remember when I was that age, wanting things so desperately.
But you didn't steal them, love.
I longed for this little post-box hat with a veil. just like Princess Margaret wore. It sat in Marley's window, and every day I passed, it was agony. I'd have done almost anything to get that hat.
But you didn't do almost anything, did you?
No. But then I didn't have a father like Monroe. He won't let Doris go to the pictures or dancing. He treats her like a skivvy, shopping and cooking for him.
It's hard work, love, bringing a child up on your own.
I know, Dad.
Especially a daughter.
But Doris says he's always been mean. It's what drove her mother away.
I thought he was a widower.
Well, that's what he wants people to think. There are things... Well, if you knew, you'd understand why Doris did what she did.
What sort of things?
I'm sorry, Dad, I can't tell you.
You seem to know a lot about the girl.
We got chatting over the garden fence a few weeks ago. The first time I've ever got more than a word or two out of her.
And you swallowed everything she told you, hook, line and sinker.
Yeah, well, I believe her.
Hey, keep your voices down a bit. I can almost make out what they're saying even without the glass.
Andy!
Oh, that's not a very nice thing to call your daughter. Sounds like the show's over for tonight. Oh, no, still at it. They'll be throwing things in a minute.
Isn't it time you two were off to the station? It's almost 9:30.
You want to get rid of us?
Yes. I've a dozen things to do before bedtime and I can do them much quicker if you're both out from under my feet.
All right. I'll decide what to do about Doris when I get off duty tomorrow morning.
You do that, Dad. Now go.
We could still hear Monroe and Doris screeching at each other halfway down the road. Of course, I should have smelt a rat. My daughter never gives up on anything without a fight. And she wasn't going to give up on Doris.
Did you for one moment consider my position?
That's all you care about, what people think of you.
I have a certain standing in this community.
You haven't asked me why I did it. Not once.
I've no interest in your motives.
You don't care about me, what I want.
Want? You sound just like your mother. Whatever she saw, she had to have.
That's why she left you. Because you were so stingy.
She left us both. Don't forget that. That'll be Dixon.
Don't let him take me away, please.
Perhaps it's the best thing for you. Miss Dixon.
I'm sorry to call so late, but... Well, I could hear that you were both still up.
I apologise if the noise has kept you awake. I can assure you...
I wasn't calling about that.
Come in, Mary, please.
Really, Doris, that's no way to address Miss Dixon.
Oh, it's all right.
Mary said I could.
If I might have a word, Mr. Monroe, I think I can help.
You found her a job.
I might have done.
Who'd want to take Doris on?
Mrs. Davis, I hope. She's desperate for someone to help out at the shop while her husband's at sea.
Well, I don't suppose she'll want Doris when she hears what the girl's been up to.
The poor woman can't lift anything heavy at the moment. And her baby's due any time now.
You will tell her about Doris. Mary?
I know Doris won't do anything so silly again.
How do you know?
I talked to her. And her father. Look, she's really sorry.
Well, I've never come across a thief who wasn't once they've been caught.
She isn't a thief. This job will give her some pocket money, Dad, and some self-respect, which is exactly what she needs.
I'm sorry, Mary. You'll have to tell Mrs. Davis everything.
Then she won't give Doris the job.
Then that's the way it'll have to be.
All right. Leave Doris under her father's thumb and see how she turns out. At least I won't be to blame.
Well, Doris, I hope you don't mind hard work.
I'm used to it, Mrs. Davis.
She certainly is.
Good, because there'll be a lot to do. I'm such a great lump now, just standing still tires me out. You've not worked in a shop before?
I've not worked anywhere, except at home.
Well, it's all very simple. I'll show you how to use a till, and when I need a bit of a sit-down, you can take over at the counter. All right?
I think so, yes.
Good.
Well, it looks as if I'm leaving you in safe hands, Doris, so I'd better get to work.
I'll never be able to thank you enough, Mary.
Just hearing you're doing a good job will be enough thanks for me, Doris.
I don't know where my daughter gets her stubborn streak. When I found out about Doris, I must admit I wasn't too pleased. I go into the shop for a box of matches. Who do I find?
You didn't say anything to Mrs. Davis, did you?
Not yet.
You just grabbed the matches off Doris and scarpered. I've never seen George speechless before.
Thank goodness.
So I take it Mrs. Davis doesn't know about Doris?
Not yet.
And when half her stock goes missing?
Well, I'll take the responsibility, but I'm telling you it won't happen.
You know, George, maybe we should give Doris a chance.
Oh, all right. But on your own heads be it.
You know, PC Crawford, you're not so bad.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you for backing me up.
Well, I admire you, Mary. What you're doing for Doris. Craven, eh, miss?
Harry, what are you doing here?
Come to see where my best girl works. It's not exactly Harrods, is it?
It suits me, and Mrs. Davies is so kind.
Is she?
Yes.
Trusts you, does she?
What is it you want, Harry?
20 Craven, eh?
Yeah, sorry. There you are.
Better have a box of matches as well.
Right.
I'm a bit short of the readies. You don't have to put it through the till, do you?
No. I suppose not. Just this one time. But I won't be able to lend you money like I did, Harry. Mrs. Davies can't afford to pay me much.
She exploiting you?
No. You don't mind about the money, do you?
Of course not. It was never money I was interested in, darling. It was you.
Really?
You're a beautiful girl, Doris. How many times do I have to tell you?
As often as you like.
Doris, do you think you could... Oh, I'm sorry. Can I help you, sir?
That's all right. I'm being served by this young lady. I'll have a Daily Herald, please.
I'm afraid we've sold out.
No bother. I'll get it somewhere else. Afternoon.
A friend of yours?
No.
It's just he seemed to know you.
He's been in once or twice.
You couldn't be a pet and get something out the kitchen cupboard for me. I can't reach a top shelf and I don't trust myself on a chair.
Of course. Oh, he forgot to pay for his cigarettes. I'll make the money up from out of my purse.
There's no need for that.
I want to. I'll get it back off him when he comes in again.
If you're sure.
Yes, I'm quite sure.
Come on, Doris.
No, Harry, don't.
One more kiss.
I have to go.
Just one more.
Harry, it's late.
Late? It's not 10 o'clock yet.
My dad's expecting me home.
You know, Doris, you should stop doing what he wants and do what you want for a change.
I don't think I know what it is I do want.
You want to come here and give me a proper cuddle?
Doris?
Mr. Dixon! Mr. Crawford! Hello.
Waiting for a bus?
No, I was just keeping Harry company till his bus came.
It's Harry Lane, isn't it?
I think I'll walk home. See you around, darling.
Harry?
Got to run.
Sorry. Didn't mean to frighten him off.
You didn't. I'd better get home before Dad starts to create. Night.
Good night, Doris.
So who's Harry Lane?
A nasty piece of work. He fiddles a living from betting and billiards, and generally making a nuisance of himself. Had a spell in Borstal, if I remember rightly.
Mary won't be too pleased to hear Doris is keeping that sort of company.
Well, she's not the only one.
Well, if he's in the picture, we'd better keep a close eye on the tobacconist. And on young Doris.
Where have you been?
Nowhere special.
Do you know what time it is?
Almost 10 o'clock.
I expect you to come straight home when the shop closes.
It closes at 6.
Then you'll be in this house no later than 6:30 every evening.
You can't keep me shut up here. Not anymore.
Who are you with?
No one.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not.
I suppose I should have expected it. Bad blood will out.
What do you mean?
Your mother was a slut.
She wasn't.
Wasn't she? She went off with some man without a thought for her own child?
No!
She didn't care about you, doesn't care about you.
Shut up!
Don't speak to me like that!
I won't stay here, I won't!
Where will you go then? Out on the street?
Anything's better than staying here with a drunk! Are you sure you don't mind me staying, Mrs. Davies?
To be honest, dear, I'm glad of it. I don't really like being alone at night with a berth so near. I'm a terrible coward, really.
I won't let you down. I promise.
Who on earth can that be at this time of night?
It's probably Dad. Oh,
then don't worry, dear. I'll deal with him. It'll be such a relief when I don't just waddle along. I'm coming. Do you know what time it is, Mr. Dixon?
Sorry to disturb at this time of night, Mrs. Davies.
Well, that's That's all right. As you can see, I was still up and about. In fact, I'm up and about 3 or 4 times a night.
I saw a light. We wanted to make sure everything was all right. My colleague PC Crawford is taking a look round the back.
Everything's fine, but I'm glad to know you're keeping an eye on me.
Mr. Dixon.
Oh, Doris. What are you doing here this time of night?
Doris is very kindly keep me company.
Ah, that's good of you, Doris.
Yes. You don't have to worry about Mrs. Davis. I'm looking after her now.
Miss Munro today.
You are a fool, Harry.
I should start calling you Marilyn. Saw her in a movie last night. Bus Stop, it was called. Not much of a film, but she was a stunner, just like you. Must be something about the Munros.
You went to the pictures without me?
Come on, love, your daddy never let you go.
I'm not living at home anymore, so next time you can ask me.
Where are you living then?
Here.
No. That's great news.
Why?
Means that I can get to see you day and night. Give us a quarter of humbugs, doll.
What do you mean you can get to see me day and night?
Use your imagination, love. What time does your new landlady go to bed?
Why?
10, 11, midnight?
About 10 usually. She gets tired. She's expecting a baby.
I just thought she ate too much. Right, I'll call by midnight tonight. You let me in and we'll have a bit of fun.
No, Harry.
Why not? Don't you fancy me no more?
You know I do.
And what's the problem?
It'd be wrong.
That's never bothered you before.
It has. And Mrs. Davis trusts me.
You think so?
She does.
You poor kid. See the mirror up there?
What about it?
Your beloved Mrs. Davis uses that mirror to sit in her armchair in the back room, nice and comfy, and watch everything you do in here, even when the door's shut. That's why there's a glass panel over the door. Do you call that trust? Because I don't.
You mean she can see us now?
No, because I know where to stand. I'm the invisible man. See you at midnight, darling.
Harry, you haven't paid. For your sweets.
Doris? Doris!
What now? Are you all right, Mrs. Davis?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Should I fetch the doctor?
No, it's only a touch of indigestion. But if you could do me a hot water bottle, I'd be grateful.
Of course.
I'll be so glad when this baby decides to put in an appearance.
I was looking forward to that Friday. Last night duty for a few weeks. A nice, uneventful stroll round Dock Green after dark, checking a few doors, shining a torch around, then back to bed for some shut-eye. You'd think I'd know better after all these years. Is it locked, Andy?
And padlocked. No one can get through that.
Right. Well, we'll take one more swing round the warehouses on Lambeth Street.
We can check on Mrs. Davis's shop on our way to the river.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's better to be safe than sorry with a knave like Harry Lane about.
Doris! Come on, girl, it's freezing out here.
Don't, Harry. You'll wake Mrs. Davis.
Then let me in.
I shouldn't.
I could do with warming up. Where's the harm? I'll only stay a while.
I don't want to let Mrs. Davis down or Mary Dixon.
Charming. You care more about a copper's daughter than you do me.
Oh, all right. You can come in, but just till you get warm.
You're a treasure.
What's the bag for?
This? Just thought I'd take a few ciggies away with me.
No, you won't.
There must be a couple of 100 worth here. She won't miss a packet or 10.
Is that the only reason you came here? To steal cigarettes?
Of course not.
Get out, Harry. Get out, now!
Are you having trouble here, Doris?
Where did you come from?
We were just passing. Harry Lane, isn't it?
Just passing. You see, Doris, they're keeping an eye on you.
I think you better come with us.
She invited me in, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You liar!
Doris, can you come here?
I have to go.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll take care of Mr. Lane.
Thanks.
Do you think we should cuff him?
Leave off.
I think we should, but before I do, I'll have my lighter back.
What lighter?
Hand it over, sunshine.
Take it. Don't work properly anyway.
Mr. Dixon, you have to fetch the midwife. The baby's coming.
Oh, all right. Andy, there's a phone box at the end of the road. Call for an ambulance.
Will do.
And handcuff our friend to something solid before you go. I better go and see Mrs. Davies.
Can I help?
No, thanks, lad. I'll just hold her hand till we can get her to the hospital.
Come on, Lane. Ouch! You're hurting.
Good.
Keep an eye on him, Doris, while I phone for the ambulance.
Go on, Doris, do something. Get these cuffs off me.
No.
Don't be stupid, Doris, do it.
I'm never going to do what a man tells me to do again.
Yeah, quite right, Doris. But could you make an exception this once and put the kettle on and get me some towels? Looks like the baby's not going to wait for the ambulance.
Luckily, it wasn't the first time I've been a midwife. I had 5 all told. 3 girls, 2 boys over 20 years. This was another lovely little girl. The Davises called her after me. No, not George. Dixie. Mary was right about Doris all along. She still helps out at the shop, and Dixie, oh, she's the apple of her eye. Doris will make a good mother when she finds the right chap. Monroe, he left the district. I feel sorry for him. He wasn't a bad chap, really. Which is more than I can say for Harry. He just started a 2-year stretch in the scrubs. Well, better get back on the beat. And he wants us to call in and see the baby. If you ask me, that lad's getting broody. Evening, all.
In Dixon of Dock Green, George Dixon was played by David Calder, PC Andy Crawford by David Tennant, and Mary Dixon by Charlie Brooks. Doris Monroe was played by Sarah Council, her father by Roland Oliver, Mrs. Davis by Esther Ruth Elliott, and Harry Lane by Paul Currier. Dixon of Dock Green was dramatised for radio by Sue Rodwell from the screenplay by Ted Willis and produced in Bristol by Viv Beebe and Jeremy Howe.